You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Craig Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Professor Larry Sabato, who teaches political science at the University of Virginia. He's director of UVA's Center for Politics, and he's the author most recently of The Year of Obama, How Barack Obama Won the White House. And for the next few minutes, we want to get Larry's impression of how the new president has conducted himself over the mythical first 100 days. And Larry, thanks so much for being with us.
Delighted to be with you, Greg.
First of all, you're a student of history. Why is the 100-day mark such an important benchmark to a lot of people?
Greg, this is Franklin D. Roosevelt's curse on his successors. It literally began with Franklin Roosevelt because, of course, at that time, the Great Depression was at its peak, and as many as a quarter of all workers were out of work. Some dispute that figure and say it was around 18%, but it was an awful lot. The Congress, the heavily Democratic Congress elected in 1932, came in with Roosevelt as he was sworn in March 4th, and in literally 100 days, they enacted the most widespread series of reforms and large pieces of legislation that really had ever been passed, I think even more so than Lincoln during the Civil War and Teddy Roosevelt early in the 20th century. So that 100 days became the benchmark for all future presidents. But of course, you don't have crises like the Great Depression every year or two. In fact, you know, this recession, as bad as it is, and it is a serious recession, we're at, 8%, I think, a little over 8% unemployment. That's not chopped liver. That's a terrible thing. But it's not 18% or 25%.
Larry, one of the things you mentioned, though, of course, is that Roosevelt had strong majorities in Congress. Obama has the same. In fact, with the Arlen Specter switch, assuming Al Franken makes his way to the U.S. Senate, he'll have a filibuster-proof Senate, which is a rarity, at least in the last couple of decades here in Washington. In terms of what Obama has tried to accomplish in the first few months here and the fact that he's got a very compliant Congress, what kind of grade do you give him for advancing his agenda, regardless of what you think of the agenda?
Oh, well, look, you gave him an A for getting his agenda passed. You can argue about whether it's healthy or good, or whether the long-term debt is going to cause inflation to skyrocket. You know, let's leave all that aside. In terms of projecting a positive image, getting popular support for his programs, and actually getting them passed, because, as you note, he has such heavy Democratic majorities in both houses, it's an A. No fair grader is going to give him anything but that. But let me add this. If there is ever anything that has been overcovered, it's been this first 100 days. I've never seen anything like it, and I've lived through a lot of presidents. This has been the most overcovered non-event in modern American history, because we don't elect presidents for sprints. We elect them for long-distance runs. 100 days is a sprint. Do you know what it's the equivalent of, Greg? As a classroom teacher, it would literally, in terms of time, be the equivalent of my giving a final grade to a student after 3 days of class in a semester. Now, isn't that absurd?
That's a little bit premature, to be sure. So, Larry, you brought up a couple important things there, and I want to follow up on both of them. First of all, the pitfalls that still lie ahead here. You mentioned that it's a marathon and not a sprint. The president has outlined certain proposals. He's got more coming down the pike in terms of energy policy, healthcare policy, and so forth. You mentioned the specter of inflation's out there as well. What does he need to avoid?
Well, he obviously needs to avoid a fracturing of his own coalition. He's obviously written off the Republicans, and to some degree, they've written off themselves. They're not engaging, and they've decided, I suppose, that their future rests in Obama failing. And maybe they're right if it moves in that direction. Of course, if he succeeds, they're not going to get any credit for anything that's accomplished. But in terms of what Obama needs to do, he needs to keep the Democrats together. He's got more than enough Democrats in the House, and now just enough Democrats in the Senate to get most of his agenda passed. But again, I will bet you that even with 60 votes, it just doesn't work out that way. There are going to be more conservative Democrats like Ben Nelson of Nebraska, and there are four or five others who are clear moderates who are not going to go along with the full Obama program. So getting that 60th vote does enable the Republicans to say, hey, it's Colin Powell's pottery barn again. You break it, you own it. You've got the whole thing. You've got the House, you got the Senate, and 60 votes in the Senate. You got the presidency. You're responsible for every single thing that happens, even a plague of locusts.
You've got, as you mentioned, the Obama popularity right now. He's in the mid to low 60s, depending on which poll you look at. But at the same time, a lot of Americans, at least, they like him, but even though they don't necessarily agree with his policies, how long can he keep that up?
I've said from the beginning he's going to get a year. Most Americans believed, well, first they disliked Bush. They disliked the Republican Congress. They were willing to give this new president an extraordinarily long honeymoon. But I think once the calendar changes, once 2009 becomes 2010, Obama will own everything. And really, that's appropriate. You can only blame your predecessor for so long, although I do remember Democrats for 50 years blamed Herbert Hoover, and it worked.
Larry, you also mentioned the media and how they've vastly overcovered the first 100 days, as well as the event of the first 100 days. Why do you think that is, and what impact could that have, positive or negative?
We always remember the news media is a business. And they're in the business to get readers and to get listeners and to get viewers. And, of course, you're the exception. You're a hard news guy, Greg, and, of course, you don't care about audiences at all, and I'm sure your bosses don't either. But everybody else, is out to get an audience. And this guy, Obama, is big box office, whether you like him or not. He's big box office. People are fascinated by what's going on and what he's doing. They watch, they listen, they read. And so that, to me, is the greatest explanation. Now, you can layer on the historical aspect, the first African-American president, everything he does is history. But look, if he were boring people and if people weren't interested, they'd find a reason not to cover him.
Larry, unfortunately, our time is up. As always, great to have you with us.
It was a lot of fun.
Larry Sabatow teaches political science at the University of Virginia. He's the director of UVA's Center for Politics, and he's the author, most recently, of The Year of Obama, How Barack Obama Won the White House. This is Dateline Washington.